I bet the original preachers before the modern age didn't have so many things to keep track of. My mic, did I have a pocket in my dress? It is delightful to be here with you. And as I walked in, I realized I don't think I'd ever been in this sanctuary, which I'm sorry, because it is a beautiful, beautiful place of worship. And I don't know if you ever look up at your ceiling, but it reminds me of the way a sanctuary was originally thought of, which was an upside down ship. And when you look at it, it has that impression. Even the thing in the center, I guess, where the pot-bellied stove went up and warmed this space. But it is beautiful, and from what I can understand, you have done some work to prepare for this time and just renewing the space. And, you know, we know the church isn't a building, it's the people. But the spaces in which we gather, they should be beautiful and they should be well taken care of, because it's just like our home. It is God's home. And so it is. Thank you for welcoming me into your home this morning. I've already worshiped at Carrollton First at the early service, and we had a wonderful service. We've been hearing about Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall and the coming together of the people, and it's been inspirational to us. So we do thank you for your prayers as we go to vote this afternoon. I'll also add, please be in prayer for Old Camp and for Villarica. They are also voting today, and I know they would covet your prayers too. I'm going to speak this morning from the book of Acts, and if you have a Bible and you want to turn to it, it is Acts, hold on, let me make sure I quote it right, Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. Or you can just listen. Sometimes it's good to just hear it. You'll recognize this. They devoted themselves, the people of God, the disciples, to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Will you pray with me? God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be centered in you. And may all that we speak and all that we hear be to your glory and to your goodness and to the coming of the kingdom of Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen. So I want you to see in your mind's eye a table. It's not a really big table, and it's not in a very big house. There's enough space for maybe a dozen or so people. We know that the early church gathered in people's homes. It was before places like this. They gathered in the synagogue also, but then they came together in their houses. And they are around this table, these people. And there's just one thing that brings them together, a rabbi named Jesus. He is no longer with them in body. This all happens after the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension. So they don't have Jesus with them in body, but he is with them in spirit. As they gather, he is present because he said, where two or more are gathered, there I am. And he's present in the teaching that is happening through the apostles and the disciples, the words that are being gathered to remember his teaching. He's with them as they break bread in their homes, as they eat together with those glad and generous hearts, giving thanks for God's blessing. He's with them as they worship in the temple. They still go to the synagogue or the temple and worship and pray. And he's with them as they share their possessions in common. It's a unique economy that they are creating this little community of Christians. No one's hungry, no one is thirsty, no one is without home. Nobody is alone. They are together and they care for one another. They welcome one another. They look after one another. And this is the writer of Acts, Luke, showing us what this early Christian community looked like, how they behaved, how they treated one another, how they came together. And then, just to make sure we don't forget it, he repeats it in the fourth chapter. And so here's that description. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions. Sound familiar? But everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. That is the first Christian church, the early church, sharing all things in common. Now, clearly we've changed a bit since the first century. We don't operate quite that way, but I think the important pieces are still with us. We gather to worship, to hear the scriptures, to study the scriptures, learn together, to hear the apostles' teaching through the scriptures. We break bread around the communion table. Some churches do it every single time they gather. We break bread around our fellowship tables. Here you're going to have breakfast together. And while we don't bring all of our resources to share in common, and we're not selling our lands and our houses, there is a practice of giving our tithes and our offerings, and by pooling our resources, we are then able, as a community, to meet the needs of the body of Christ and the larger community, our neighbors. We know that nothing truly belongs to us. Everything, all that we have, belongs to God and is given to us for our good pleasure, but also for God's good purposes. So that the body of Christ can grow, the church of Christ can reach more people to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, as we say. So I want you to look at the words that describe this community, just the adjectives, if you will. Those early Christians, they were devoted. They looked at one another. They came together. They were connected. They were loyal. They had glad and generous hearts. Doesn't mean everything was always okay, but they lived with an expectation of joy. They had good will. They tried to see the good in each other. Nobody's perfect, but when we look for what is good, we're more likely to see it, right? They were of one heart and soul, and no one was in need. They were focused on what was important. And I love this. They were being saved day by day. Sometimes we think of salvation as a one and done thing. You know, I took Jesus into my heart, I'm done. No, we're Methodists. We're United Methodists. And we have this thing called sanctification, which other denominations believe in and share too. But we just have kind of a special. And so when they say they were being saved day by day, every day they were being saved anew in some form or fashion. And so as I read these words in Acts, I think, I want to be part of that kind of Christian community. Don't you? Don't you want to be part of a place where everybody is cared for, nobody has a need, everybody's fed, nobody's hungry, and we get along for the most part. We're of one heart and soul. But here's the thing. We have to be honest. It's difficult. It's difficult. I mean, even in our own families, it's difficult, right? Let alone a church family. But I think that this description, knowing the rest of the book of Acts, it's an aspirational description. It's what the church feels called to be, as much as it is descriptive. It's aspirational. It's who we're supposed to be when we follow Jesus Christ. It's who we are at our best. Because we know the first followers of Jesus, they failed. he'll live up to their intentions. If you just read the scriptures, you read the letters of Paul, you read the rest of the book of Acts, they weren't always on the same page. Peter and Paul, they had a massive argument going on about how the Gentiles could relate to this still Jewish community. Did they have to be circumcised? Did they have to follow all the dietary laws? Did they have to follow all of the old Jewish laws? Or could they come in anew? Did one have to become Jewish first before you could become Christian? Those were the questions. Or could people just come and grow in their faith organically? The disciples, I don't think, were always devoted. People sinned, they fell short. Even Paul talks about his own struggles to do the right thing. And not everybody was always on board with this having all things in common and selling your stuff and bringing it to the church. If you read Acts 5, just a chapter over, read about the sad end of Ananias and Sapphira. Glad and generous hearts most of the time, one heart and soul. It's hard. It's hard. And the truth is, if you look at the whole history of the church, the body of Christ, it's as fractured as our United Methodist Church is today. We haven't always done what we have been called to do. Nevertheless, that's a Paul thing. He says, nevertheless, the church is the body of Christ is still being called to live into this vision of Acts 2. It's our blueprint. It's our way of being the body of Christ. And it's powerful. It's hopeful. I mentioned that we Methodists have this special way of talking about things. We call it going on to perfection. And it's brilliant, this Wesleyan theology that talks about grace as prevenient, as justifying, and then as sanctifying. And it's a framework for being on this journey of salvation. So we may not have reached full sanctification or perfection in love, not perfect, but only in love. But we keep on. We're on this journey, and day by day, we're being sanctified. And so we keep this vision of Acts 2 and Acts 4. And I, as a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I go back to remind myself, this is what I'm called to help create in the body of Christ. And along the way, we see signs. It says there were signs and wonders. And so I try to keep an eye out and an ear open. This past spring, even as our church in Carrollton was going through a lot of difficult things, we had a confirmation class, and we had 6 young adults, young people, teenagers, join the church and be confirmed, affirm their faith in Jesus Christ. And the church affirmed their faith in Jesus Christ around them. And then we had a couple of children who were baptized. They were cousins, and we celebrated their coming into the world in this family. And then a few weeks later, we celebrated the life, death, and resurrection of their great-grandmother, Bess, her name was. And then as she was dying, there were these new Christians being born. And in that family, there's like 3 more children that have been born and baptized since then. So I thought about, just, and that's just one family. We've had some others, but there's this ongoing ritual of the church that we do of bringing people in who are born and baptized, and they affirm and live their faith around the table and out in the community as we do ministry with our neighbors. And then when the time comes, we celebrate and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is the beauty of the body of Christ. Now, working with Wesley Woods, it's a senior living community, a series of communities, about 10. I'm really well aware of that last bit, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The average age of our residents is 84. And so I tell people, you're not really considered old until you're at least in your 90s at Wesley Woods. I mean, our down in Noonan, our organist who plays for worship on Sundays is 93. And she is sharp as a tack. And all of our pianists are in their late 80s or 90s too, so we got a long ways to go, Carter. But you know, we're so thankful at Wesley Woods that we have these communities, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. When people move in, you know, they're leaving behind a life, oftentimes, homes, communities. Sometimes they move to be near their grandchildren and their children. And it's kind of like joining the body of Christ. You're moving into a new community, and you've got to learn where your place is and how things operate. And I also say it's sort of like going back to college and living in a dorm, but with nicer accommodations and much better food. We just made a contract with Morrison's down in Noonan to be our food service provider, and everybody's so excited, mostly me. We're going to have some lunches down there. But people leave things behind, and then they gain things, and hopefully the gains outweigh the losses. We think of what we do mostly as independent living. A lot of our folks still drive, and some of them even have jobs. They're in their 60s and working a part-time job. But it's really, I think, communal living. And we share a lot. We have meals together. We do all kinds of activities together. We have worship on Sunday in every community, either in the morning or the afternoon, thanks to our chaplains. We do Bible studies. We do chair yoga. We do Tai Chi, Jack. Yes. Jack and I do Tai Chi together. Book clubs, you name it. Everything is there, including beauty salons and our chaplains. They don't live in the community, but they're just like your pastor. They're available when the need arises. And in a lot of ways, we're like those early Christian communities. We're worshiping together. We're sharing our meals with mostly glad and generous hearts, and sharing things in common. And it's benefited us over the last 3 years now, almost. We figured out how we could stay in community and keep everybody healthy. We couldn't for a while go out in the world, but we found ways to stay connected through technology, your website, that's wonderful. There was a community where the Wesley Woods Towers, it's in the round, it's the round towers, and some of the floors figured out they could open their doors and eat their meals sitting in their doorways every day and talk to each other that way when we didn't have the dining room open. So it was wonderful. We had Mother's Day parades. We had families in their cars with signs, and they walked around the buildings, and residents could look out and see their loved ones. That was that first spring when nobody could get near each other right then. But it was because we understood that the priority was the community, the being together, and that even though that was also the thing that could be dangerous, we found ways to serve that common purpose. And for Wesley Woods, what we say is our purpose, our mission, is to create communities of connection, well-being, and promise. And I think it's a lot like the description in Acts. It calls us into community around the people that we serve, as well as everybody who supports our mission. We're in it together. And I can't think of a better description of a partnership than what's described in the book of Acts. And we're grateful. Grateful for the prayers, the support of our ministry that comes through our United Methodist churches. And just as in the early church in Jerusalem, you know, the Jerusalem church was the poorest church and was supported by the saints in the richer areas. So we depend upon the generosity of church partners. And we have churches that are incredibly generous with our Mother's Day offering, which is our main thing, but also with their time and their talents. We have volunteers that come and lead Bible studies and come and read with our residents who may not be able to see as well anymore, and they come and they do the yoga and the Tai Chi, and it's just the way that God multiplies the gifts. Nobody is in need. Everybody is cared for in this common space. I heard a story this past spring, and it was from a pastor of one of our church partners, and it reminded me of how important it is and how it sort of all comes around. She was serving at Trinity United Methodist Church in downtown Atlanta. It's near the Capitol there. And they have a ministry to the unhoused folk in their area called Trinity Table. And one day this man named William showed up. Now, William had been living on the streets a long, long time, many years. He also struggled with a pretty powerful addiction to drugs. But over time, being part of that community at Trinity Table, he was able to get clean. And he then began to volunteer. He would come and help out, even as he was still homeless. And then he reaffirmed his faith in Christ and joined the church, not just the Trinity table, but the actual church community. And as that happened, friends were able to find him housing in a halfway house, but that was just sort of a temporary solution. He really needed his own, you know, permanent place. And one of the members thought about Wesley Woods and reminded the pastor that, you know, he would be eligible for one of our communities. And so he got on the waiting list at Brandon Towers. And after 2 or 3 months it usually takes, he was in to his new apartment, and he just flourished there. He became a community leader. He took all the things he was doing at Trinity Table and brought them to Brandon Towers. Brandon Towers is located in East Atlanta, right off of Moreland Avenue and the interstate. But he just began to flourish and lead and help with things there. Well, a few months ago, William heard those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the community misses him, but what a story. It's part of our Wesley Woods story, and it's part of the story of our church partner at Trinity, and it's part of your story because you're part of the United Methodist Church and we're all connected. And because of all of you, William spent his last and best years in a wonderful, warm, safe home where he could share the calling on his life to be a servant of Jesus, where he could love and be loved. That's the power of this vision of community. I want to invite you to think about another table to hear me and see this table. It's from a Publix commercial of all places. And it's a beautiful vision to me of the power of community. So it starts with a woman running upstairs, and you can tell she's late for something. She's late to this dinner party, and so the voiceover says, "We all have our faults." Anybody ever late? Our quirks are little imperfections, the voice says, and you see somebody making a sandwich, and they're putting potato chips on it. But anybody do that? A little strange. And then there's a group of women, and they're making tamales, and this teenager who's with them, hers is just falling apart. Not yet perfect. And then the voice says, "But here at this table, we are always welcome." And you see people laughing, and they're passing the condiments, and they're telling stories. And the voice says, "This is where battles are waged, lives are shaped, and lessons are learned." And you see a young couple arguing, and then there's a father comforting his son. "Where we can brush away the dust of the day." And this weary woman just plops down at a table. "Where we can brush away the dust of the day and finally just be." And the voice says, "This is more than a table." And then you see another group of people, and they're speaking in sign language, and they're smiling, and they're laughing, and you hear a grandfather say to his grandson, "You got this." It's where we piece ourselves together one meal at a time. And then the camera kind of does a 360 to all these groups moving from table to table, and you see people smiling and laughing and talking. And then the last byline on the screen: "The table is where we all come together." Now, when I saw that commercial, I actually saw it several years ago, but I looked it back up for this. I just remember thinking, that's the best Christian commercial I've ever seen. The table is where we piece ourselves together one meal at a time. The table is where we are all welcome. And it's the vision of Acts 2. There's this community described by Luke, a place where we can bring our faults and our quirks and our imperfections, our insecurities, our failures, our weariness. And we can wage battles. Believe me, we've been doing it as a denomination. We can learn from each other. We can be shaped by the grace that is set before us and that holds us around the table. And here's a table for Sabbath, for rest, for retreat, for being beside still waters and getting our souls restored. And it is more than a table. This table, I know you come around it at least once a month, and it's Christ's table. We say that, it's Christ's table. And everyone can be pieced together around this table, and everyone is welcome. I know you've heard Martha say it, but you know, in our denomination, we practice what's called an open table. Anybody can come. We don't ask any questions. You don't even have to be baptized, because John Wesley thought you might just get convicted when you came forward. It's a beautiful invitational way of being. So I want to ask you again, wouldn't you like to be part of a church like this? Wouldn't you want to be a church like the one in Acts, like the one in that Publix commercial? Wouldn't you want to invite somebody to that kind of church? And it's possible. It is possible. It is so possible to be that kind of church. We're not perfect, but we just need to aspire. We need to keep trying and to take these beautiful words from Acts that describe the first church and just keep trying to live them out. Keep trying to be devoted to the teachings of Jesus and to the fellowship. Let's pray together without ceasing. Let's break bread together with glad and generous hearts, whether it's in your homes or at this table or at a soup kitchen, wherever you are the hands and feet of Christ. And let's share what we have so that no one is in need. Let's be generous. Let's praise God with goodwill in our hearts towards each other, because we're resurrection people, and the sign of the resurrection is the body of Christ, assembled together, living out the life of Christ in the world. Christ is present wherever we gather, in this place and in the world. And Christ is with us wherever we continue to be with each other. Acts 2 is our vision. It is our mission, our blueprint. So let's be that church. You be that church where day by day the Lord adds to your numbers those who are being saved, those who come to know how much they are loved, how they are welcomed, that there is a place at the table where their lives, like William's, like maybe yours or mine, can be pieced together one meal at a time, one encounter at a time, as we are the body of Christ, loving each other through all of our faults and imperfections.